what we would call legal system abuse has just become a big problem in America, and in particular Georgia, the state of Georgia. In fact, the American Tort Reform Association has ranked Georgia number one for what it calls judicial hellholes. Lots of what they call nuclear verdicts, $10 million plus, some over billions of dollars. What is happening is you're seeing all of this money go into the litigation system, and that increased the cost for everyone, and it increased insurance costs because that litigation has to get factored into the loss estimates when they're pricing the risk. And so what we at III are trying to help people understand is we need to pay attention to this. We need to understand that litigation doesn't need to be a first step, but should be more as a last resort in disputes. And so what we're trying to do is raise awareness because, like you mentioned, the governor is put this as a priority. And so we seek to just inform consumers and policymakers about what the costs are, because it's estimated that the GDP of legal system abuse impacts the economy about $13 billion annually in Georgia alone. So
that's a lot of money. If I promoted this to the listeners in advance as tort reform, they'd go right over to Clint Black or something, right? But when you get to talking about healthcare and insurance costs, everything you're discussing here, these numbers, hit home. Is there some reason specifically that you can talk about why Georgia is high on that list?
Well, there's one aspect in litigation called anchoring that is allowed in Georgia in the judicial areas. And really what that anchoring is, it allows a lawyer to go after non-economic losses in extraordinary amounts, and it anchors the jury into that extraordinary amount already, and it sets a precedent for that large cost. And so they're putting a big price on the likes of pain and suffering. What that big price gets, the claimant might get the big settlement, but the legal fees are also what the lawyer is seeking, right?
And I'm sure a lot of people don't consider that kind of thing that doesn't have anything to do with them, seemingly, actually affecting their insurance costs, but it does, and over time, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to price, the price of insurance is the price of risk. And if you have a high litigation area, that's risky, and it's going to be more expensive. So right now, auto insurance in the state of Georgia is fifth. Florida, Louisiana, are other big states that have high insurance costs. But we're finding that the affordability aspect of insurance is getting to a point where consumers can't afford it. And they're having to make difficult choices of not having enough insurance. And so this is a problem when you have a product that's trying to help people when catastrophe strikes and help them recover. They can't make that choice because they can't afford it.
Is there any sort of geographical or demographic, these hellholes that you're talking about, the malpractice suits and judgments and then the huge awards, is it a rural thing, an urban thing, an age thing, a demographic thing?
It really is. It's a reflection of just how much the plaintiff side can take advantage of the legal system. And so and that really that's what they focus on. And they focus on judicial areas where they can get more. And Florida was one of those areas. Now, 2 years ago, Florida passed reform. They got rid of what they called assignment of benefits down there that allowed claimants to sometimes unknowingly sign over their claim to a lawyer or contractor, and it would take the claim up 20, 50 times what it should have been. So they started reforming in Florida, and what we've actually seen is that costs are starting to go down. So the risk level is getting lower, and that allows for the cost of insurance to go down. Most of the state of Florida did not have any rate increases. We've seen insurance companies come back into that state. Because a state, one of the things that also happens is when you're in an area that's prone to natural catastrophes and climate risk, and you combine that with legal system abuse, that's when you get into a property crisis. And that's what Florida really did see after Hurricane Ian. You know, it's estimated that Hurricane Ian was the second costliest hurricane on record, behind Katrina. Now, think about the damage that you recall from Katrina.
And we've done so many stories on the cost of home insurance there,
right,
driving people out of Florida. You're saying it's the same situation with
health
insurance?
Well, it's starting to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. After this reform passed, we're seeing, again, insurers are coming to the state and doing more business, whereas in 2022, you actually saw six insurers go insolvent even before Ian ever hit. So we're seeing the price, the cost of insurance go down, the market beginning to get back in. But what we're also seeing, and we're hearing from our member companies, is that the litigation is just creeping across the border into Georgia now. So we were saying Florida is a state coming near you, and yes, obviously Georgia is very near to Florida.
Yes, we don't like happening. That in cost or football either way.
Right.
I read a quote from, it was either a doctor or an advocate saying that, you know, civilians don't know the difference between $10 and $100 million when they pass these judgments. Is it sort of naivete, or are they being preyed upon by the legal system?
Well, it's a tactic, right? It's a way that they can bring in this anchoring and get the jury used to these amounts, and they don't feel as bad. And you're just seeing extraordinary circumstances. There was a case here in Georgia with CVS. There was a person unfortunately shot in a CVS parking lot. The shooter was not found liable. CVS was found liable because it happened in theirs, and because CVS had much more money than the shooter, right? I believe the estimate was something like $45 million was awarded in that particular case. So these are the type of tactics, and it's just driving up the costs for everybody. And so we say, you know, legal system abuse is increasing your insurance costs. And we would say billboard attorneys are increasing your insurance costs as well.
The info you sent me had an interesting section in it that I certainly had not considered, and it is essentially that foreign actors or hostile, yes, or you know, malcontents are taking advantage of the legal abusers in this country, you know,
absolutely,
as a disruptive tactic.
Yeah, the technical term is third-party litigation funding, which has been around for a while. But what it's turned into is now a global multi-billion dollar asset class. So it is an actual asset class. And we call it dark money because there's no transparency on who's behind this. There's only two states that require any type of transparency so that people have to admit that they have a third-party litigation funder. We've seen instances where the third-party funder will actually not allow a claimant to settle because they believe the odds are more heavily in their favor to profit from the case if they don't settle. So it is, it's a big problem. You mentioned sovereign funds are investing in this. By the way, they don't pay taxes either. You could argue that that's also a national security issue too.
You mentioned Florida. Tell me about some other states, what has been tried, maybe what's worked and what hasn't. If the situation in Georgia is, as you're describing, worse than literally any other state, it's going to take some work here. What has worked elsewhere?
Well, certainly not allowing, you know, caps. You know, sometimes the attorneys will try and remove caps on damages. We believed as well there needs to be more transparency on third-party litigation funding. Just making it so that the legal fees, they're raising the legal fees up. One of the things we also are seeing is that without that transparency in the third-party litigation funding, you know, we can find only one publicly traded third-party litigation funder, and you read their quarterly results and their triple-digit percent increases. It's a big business. And so you've got to just put more transparency in there and put more scrutiny on there. I mean, the insurance industry in the United States, property casualty, has 54 regulators. There's a state-regulated entity.
Right.
And so we are very transparent about the policies that we have to write, and we write those with the regulatory community. But we're now, you know, forced to have to fight against a system that is very cash flow friendly, and is winning in that way because they're allowing the average consumer sees it. You know, we've done studies through the Insurance Research Council that shows that, you know, the majority of people see the billboards. They see, they feel, they know what's around, but they don't understand how it impacts them. And so that's what we're trying to do. In fact, we have a physical billboard here in Atlanta this month.
Whereabouts?
In the Capital District, off of Interstate 20.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And it says legal system abuse increases your insurance costs. The billboard company wouldn't allow us to say billboard attorneys increase your insurance costs, but we did say legal
that system I understand.
Abuse. We have, and there's a website too. It's stoplegalsystemabuse.org.
Okay.
And you can get specific stats and facts on Georgia. You know, we're a trade organization that just does research and communications.
Right.
We don't lobby. We don't sell insurance directly. We're just the insurance industry just wants people to be informed about this issue.
Sure. Tell me in Florida, to get to the progress you're describing, how arduous was it? Was it, you know, Muhammad Ali and Leon Spinks, or did, you know,
years
was it fairly
years.
Easy? Or
yeah, I think unfortunately, and you find this a lot in insurance, is until people really feel the pain or the catastrophe, the action doesn't set in. And I do think after Ian happened and they saw so many insurance carriers go insolvent that year, that as soon as the hurricane came through, the policymakers were saying, we've got to stop this fraud. We've got to stop this, you know, litigation abuse, because we're not, it's, people just can't afford insurance in that state. Thankfully now it's going back to at least a better level. It's still a higher level than most states.
Does this break down along political lines at all?
It is in some ways apolitical, because I think you see the trial attorneys are invaded on kind of both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of political contributions in there. They also have a lot of policymakers that are attorneys. So in my opinion, it's a little more apolitical of an issue, insofar as it's driven everywhere. So it's not as much the red or the blue states necessarily.
Yeah. Everybody's had a sick grandma, right? Or a kid in a car accident.
Right. So, right.
So let's take it back from numbers and politics and policy and so forth, because at the bottom here, what you're talking about is people who've been through a hardship. In your view, are being preyed upon. It almost sounds like an industry in a way.
It's exploitive, no doubt. It really is. It's exploitive. I mean, there's advertising all over the place, but, you know, to drive down the interstate in the state of Georgia is a different experience. To drive down, I mean, you can go into the state of Florida and you'll actually see that they have 6-7-figure dollar amounts underneath a person's portrait.
Oh, my.
Almost making it feel like a lottery type of aspect, right? So lots of money going into making people aware of this. But then what we're also seeing, though, is that on average, especially with the third-party litigation funding, that we're finding that the claimant is getting less. About 12% on average, the claimant gets less when there's a third-party litigation funder involved.
So the lawyers get the rest.
The lawyers will get the rest. I mean, they're right now with the opioid case that's going on, the lawyers are trying to figure out how to split over $2 billion in fees alone.
Gosh. So people will hear, oh, they're going to take it up in the General Assembly session. It ain't going to be settled by the time they're done in April, though, right? You're talking about years, most likely.
It takes a little while. Mm-hmm. And it does depend on kind of what happens when the reform is passed. Because what happened in Florida is... for the assignment of benefits issue, when that passed, in the days from when the law was passed to when it got signed, they dumped about 250,000 cases into the system.
Oh, yeah.
So Florida had, even before that, they had over 70% of all homeowners litigation resided just in the state of Florida, when it only accounted for about 9% of the total claims.
Yeah, that's wacky. Everything happens in Florida, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's but again, I do applaud that they're trying to make this work. Mm. We've been down there and visiting in Tallahassee, talking to them, giving them our information, because we want to show that reform works. And it does. I mean, you see another industry in the insurance industry like workers' compensation. Mm-hmm. That had reform many decades ago. And that is, as a business and as a line of business, is performing relatively how it should. Whereas, you know, you're just seeing extraordinary liability amounts coming out of the likes of the commercial auto line of business and insurance, for example.
He's not endorsing anything, but does Governor Kemp's willingness to so publicly take up the issue maybe bode well for doing something?
Absolutely. We have found that when the governor gets involved in any state, that's when you really do begin to see some more movement mm-hmm. in there. So we are happy to see that there is focus in the state, and that's why we're here. We're trying to help raise the awareness so that the reform does pass and that we can reduce the risk levels so that we can reduce the price levels.